Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, Sepp, Chase in today. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason hanging out. Nick Heiser as well. Willie D. will be along here in a little bit as working on morning skate duties. Looking forward to today's show. Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt basketball coach, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Yes.
What up, D. Mace?
What's going on, Chaser?
Good to hang out.
Hey, you got that Vegas glow on you, man.
Oh, I'm ready. Tomorrow, after work, about 5 o'clock, get on the plane, head west.
I hope you're not flying Spirit.
No. No, we got a little stop off in Denver.
Okay.
So,
oh, okay.
So, and go, you know, have me a beer of three.
Okay, a beer of three. Okay.
Get to feel good on the plane, and then.
All right. How many hours? They're what, 2 hours behind?
Yeah, okay. It's about a four-hour flight total, okay. But 2 hours behind. So, like, the best part is I can start watching basketball at, like, 3 o'clock on Thursday.
Oh, man.
It'd be great.
I need to travel one day with you and Rick, man, because I know it's probably like, man.
Well, you know, I mean, one, I would love that.
Yeah.
He would absolutely love that. D-Mace in Vegas. good time.
We are the three best friends that
exactly. Anyway. Whose baby is this?
His name is Phil.
Man.
There you go. Anyway, good to hang out. I'm going to be hanging out today with you and Willie D, like old times, and get into a lot of different things, including the Titans. And I want to bring this up with him too. Mm-hmm. But so I got bored last night, and I started thinking about, you know, you always hear the phrase, if the season ended today. Well, what if the season started today? What this specifically the offense would look like for the Titans. And I said the same thing. I was like, woof. I mean, thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, right now you still have Tannehill and Henry, and you go, okay, all right. I can ride with that. Like, okay. But then receiver, the position that you played so well. Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Akina.
I'm good with him. Not necessarily a starter, but I'm good with him on the roster and the part of the receiving core, yes.
And then Kyle Phillips, basically.
Yes, I'm good with that, but not a starter. Was Racy McMath a free?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's still on the team. But.
That's, you know, that's one guy, and I heard you and Michelle talking about it a little, what you wanted to get into on my way over here. I think I saw the text that you texted. It was one of the two. The one guy that I'm really intrigued by, not necessarily, I think Treylon Burks will be fine. I think, you know, he was at a disadvantage because anything short of a, you know, 1,000-yard season or, any, you know, just him consistently playing at a high level, it was going to be said that, oh, you know, he's not giving us what, you know, what AJ gave us. And you probably were right. But this young man, when he's on the field, he's a difference maker. And people need to recognize that. He's a good player. He could potentially be a elite player in this league if he stays healthy, get in the right system with the right quarterback. And not to say that Ryan's not the right quarterback, but realistically, Ryan's not going to be around here too long, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, he needs to grow with a quarterback that's going to be there as well, as long as he's going to be there. So I'm good with Treylon Burks. I think he's, you know, if there was a, you know, comeback player of the year for a guy that was often injured and whatnot and based on what we thought he was going to be, I think he would be in the running for that this upcoming season because I think the kid's he's special. The guy that I'm really intrigued about, I think Phillips is going to do really well.
Spot receiver.
Yeah, he need to bulk up some more. They need to figure out, is he really a punt returner? Because if he is, they're going to have to really gauge that because he can get hurt because of a small frame. So they need to, you know, if he's going to be their slot receiver, you know, they got to sort of figure out how they're going to do that. But the guy that I'm interested in is Racy McMath. I think for Racy, he has the talent. Everybody sees the talent. Everybody sees the physical talent that he has. Everybody's seen that, you know, just that moment of, wow, he gives you, bam, and then all of a sudden he disappears and you don't see him, whether it be in practice or he get an opportunity in the game. This is a guy that has the potential to be a part of their rotation in a big way. They like him. They like what he offers. He just has to be consistent. He has to show that he's growing as a player. And if he does that, you know, this is going to be a receiving core. Once they add a few more pieces, this is going to be a receiving core, I think, that it's going to fly under the radar. But they're going to be a receiving core that go out and contribute to a lot of wins or contribute to a good offense moving forward. That's if, you know, Race McMath takes that jump that I believe he needs to take. Nick Respa-Kakine needs to continue to play that role or even get better. Kyle Phillips, he needs to, you know, that second year is usually that year where you know, okay, I figured it out. Now I know what to do.
Is that when it clicked for you?
Yeah, it was that second year, you know, because I had a full off season. I had a full off season right. In the program. I knew exactly what they expected of me. I knew the playbook. You know, I knew the other guys around me had more familiarity with the quarterbacks, whether it be Steve McNair, Neil O'Donnell, Dave Craig, whoever that was. I was more comfortable with them, and I think they were comfortable with me as well. And then the offensive coordinator after, you know, Les Steckel was comfortable with me as a player. So that second season is usually that season where you start to see more growth. And I'm hoping Kyle Phillips, Treylon Burks, and Racy McMath are the three guys that you should see a jump from where they were last year. If you don't, then
yeah,
we got a problem. We do.
Yeah, and I think, too, like I look at, you know, Treylon Burks had this some, and I look at Kyle Phillips and Racy, too, and they were all hurt. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't play. They missed time. I do think there's a little bit of a benefit there because to have the red shirt year, so to speak, because you can't be on the practice field. You can't be out, you know, running the plays, but you're in the classroom mm-hmm. and you're in the playbook and you're getting, you know, you're listening to coaches and those things. So I think that could be very, very beneficial to those guys as they move in to, like you said, their second year.
Yeah, it will. And what I would say to them, right now, as they have entered their off season, run, and run some more. I've always told, you know, the guys in my room, we should be the best conditioned group in this building. Why? Because we're always running. We can't take a playoff. Even on a run play, we got to start blocking because the ball is coming our way, or if the ball is going away, they expect us to get the backside safety because it might be a cutback and he get into the safety. And if we don't, we hear about it in a meeting. So for a receiver, we're constantly running. As a defensive back, it's the same thing. You should be the most conditioned athlete out there. And this is where I sort of had a problem with not just the Titans. I think the NFL, period. This whole, you know, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. How can you get used to running 15, 20 plays if you in and out, in and out, in and out?
Right.
My thing is when you condition in the offseason, that should be the hardest that you condition. The offseason should be the hardest. Once you get in the season, that should be easy. Why? Because you've worked so hard during the offseason that you can't wait till you get to the season. You can't wait till you get to, you know, I call it still two-a-day practice, but you can't wait till you get to summer practice, summer camp. Because to you, that's easy because you've worked so hard in the offseason that once you get in the season, this is a breeze. You've built up that tolerance in a sense of, I don't need to take a break. I can go. Just let me take a deep breath. I'm ready to go. Everything that you do, it should be when you run, it should be, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds off. Let's go again. Why? Because that's how much time is in between you running a play and you getting to the next play. So to me, these guys should condition themselves to never come off the field. That's just, I mean, unless you want to come off the field, okay. But I am not going to keep subbing you in and out. Why? Because when I need you in 2 minutes, I've been subbing you in and out. You're not conditioned for that.
Yeah. I think you see a lot of just different subs and different packages with mm-hmm. different personnel today, more so maybe than you did you, and correct me if I'm wrong, than when you play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think offensive coordinators especially try and get, at times, too creative with it and try and, you know, I don't know if it's a sense of like, well, this guy's got a particular skill set, so I want to work him in here. Mm-hmm. And when it's just like, just put the best guys on the field.
And that's how I was back then. It was like, I want to have my best guys on the field.
Right.
Like, you know, I would run a nine route and I just jog back. And my rest time was me jogging back. It wasn't no looking toward the sideline, tapping my helmet, can I get out? No.
Yeah.
I'm running the sideline. Now, if you want me to come out because you see something, that's a different story. But I'm not tapping to come out. I'm going right back in the huddle, taking a few deep breaths, and I'm right back on a line of scrimmage.
I have another follow-up on Racy McMath that I want to ask you coming up next. Chase McCabe in for Caroline Fenton today alongside Derek Mason. Willie D will be here in just a little bit as well. We'll have Jerry Stackhouse coming up in about 15 minutes. Are your brackets busted? Sign up and play the official 16-team game bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and by the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. Enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now at 866-GET-LAND. Just go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app, and you can pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April 15th, courtesy of 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, Chase in for Caroline today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night, Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Starting at 6 o'clock, you can see Predators star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests are Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lozon. Smashville Live presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila. Pure and simple. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday. Jerry Stackhouse joining us in about 15 minutes to talk about Vandy's NIT run. So you mentioned Racy McMath.
Uh-huh.
He's big. Mm-hmm. He's, I guess, in the Titans' mind and maybe in your mind, he's supposed to be a bit of a deep threat kind of guy that that they have desperately been looking for. I mean, that's really what they need. Are there any comparables that you have for him of somebody that – you know, you could potentially see him mimicking his game?
Gosh, not offhand. I'm trying to think here. Not really. I would probably need a little bit, a little bit more time to figure that out. But given his, size and weight and obvious speed, he can, you name any, big fast receiver that has, has went out and been productive in this league, and you can find someone that he sort of mimics. It would all of that is for nothing if he doesn't take this offseason, which I'm sure he is. Because I'm sure once he went into the exit meetings, whether it was the head coach or his position coach, they told him exactly what he needed to work on and what they expected of him when he came back to camp. And I'm sure and I hope that he worked on those things and more, that he's coming into the – because he's in a perfect position.
Yeah,
because this is a receiving corps that's thin, and they're looking for playmakers. And you can never say in a situation like this, it's not like you're going into a situation where, you're going into Miami and they already got Tyreek Hill and Waddle, or you're going to Philly and they got AJ and Devontae and other guys, and you got to sort of sit back and sort of find your way. No, you're going into a situation where there's only one guy that this receiving corps truly has that has shown that he can play, and that's Treylon Burks. Everyone else is sort of, even Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, he's shown he's a NFL player, but he hasn't shown enough that he's a starter in this league. He's more of a backup guy. So you got an opportunity to jump over Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, even though he's been here 2 or 3 years longer than you, but you have an opportunity to jump over him and be that starting receiver alongside Treylon Burks. So what you do in this offseason will show during the season, minus injury. So I think this is a perfect opportunity. I'm sure the head coach and the position coach, Rob Moore, they told him, like, this is a perfect position. This is a perfect situation for you, Racy, because when you come back, you know, there's nobody in front of you as you go into, you know, as you go into, you know, the off season. What you do will dictate where you're at on the roster. You can either be the second receiver, the third receiver, or the fourth receiver, or out of here. That depends on you, nothing else. So to me, this was he's stepping into a excellent situation. I think Kyle Phillips and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is too, but I think the thing with Nick is they've seen what he is.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we know that he's probably more than likely a 3 or maybe a 4.
Right.
Well, with Racy McMath, the ceiling is high. He can be your 2 or he can be your 4. Which one is he going to be?
Or he can not be on
the
team.
But that's all predicated on him.
Right.
You know, so that's why to me that this is I look for him to come into camp and to be that guy beside Treylon Burks that we look at and say, wow, this guy has really, you know, he's done a 180 from what he was last year. He's really progressed as a player and developed as a player.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, I bring this up to you because they obviously know more than we do because mm-hmm. they're right there. So I'm wondering what they've seen from him. No, and granted, they haven't, you know, that he's been, coming to the facility and working out, I guess mm-hmm. is all you can really do. But if they feel like that he has made progress, because they haven't, that's one thing they haven't done. They haven't mm-hmm. signed a free agent wide receiver, which has kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
That they haven't done that. Now, granted, there's not a lot out there, mm-hmm. you know, that I would be all that interested in. But, I mean, you know, they weren't going to give, you know, they weren't going to pay big money like Lazard and Jacoby Myers and Juju, you know, those guys. Adam Thielen, mm-hmm. that's another one that's interesting. But, you know, guys that are currently available, Kenny Golladay, which I'd probably stay away from that.
They got rid of him in New York. I mean, want him in New York.
Yeah, I'd stay away from that. Robbie Anderson, I'd stay away from that. Nelson Aguilar is interesting.
Is his name still Robbie Anderson? Or did he change it?
I think he changed it. Yeah, he changed it. I don't know what it is. Nelson Aguilar TD's brought up a few times. DJ Shark intrigues me, but he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so is that somebody? Randall Cobb's going wherever Rodgers goes, so you take that off the table. Marvin Jones, no. Julio, been there, done that. Jarvis Landry, I would have loved like 2 years ago.
Yeah, not now.
Not now. N'Keal Harry, no. Isaiah McKenzie, meh. Jamison Crowder is interesting. He's somebody that's probably a value guy.
Yeah,
but that's what you're getting at this point.
He's more – Crowder to me is more of a slot, third, fourth receiver at this point. But, you know, this – again, this is a good opportunity for, you know, Racy McMath and Kyle Phillips, really those two guys, because again, I think they understand and realize what they have in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. But this is a perfect opportunity for those two guys to elevate themselves. And again, I would tell them, listen, this offseason, you shouldn't think about nothing else but football. If you're not like, be with your family and you know whatnot, if you have kids, then, you know, be with them, spend time with them. But if it ain't them, it need to be football. And that's just honestly speaking. It's like, dude, you guys are in a position right now where it can go one of two ways. Either you can be on this team contributing at a high level or you can be off this team because this team is in transition. And if you're not showing them that you're doing the things necessary to be productive, they're going to get rid of you. They're not going to sit around and hold on to you anymore. This is a new regime, meaning the GM. I think the head coach wants to sort of, you know, move some pieces around and whatnot. And if you don't come back in and, you know, showing them that you're ready to go, then that's your fault. So to me, Racy, even Traylon, Racy, Traylon, Phillips, this offseason should be nothing but football.
Right.
Nothing else. No going out, and I understand you want to have a good time, but no going out. No. My job is for me to be productive once I walk into that building. And the only way I'm going to do that is I do the things necessary in the offseason. So when I get in the season, it's cool. To me, these soft tissue injuries, all this other stuff, and maybe not in everybody's case, but it's because you're not working as hard in the offseason as you should. So when you get in season and the coach is pushing you in there and you got to go constant play after play after play, your muscles get fatigued. Then you end up pulling a hamstring or a quad muscle or something like that. If you're working hard in the offseason and doing those things necessary, more than likely you won't have those soft tissue injuries. He looks at, and I guarantee you, the guy that works probably as hard as anybody is Kevin Byard. And you know what Vrabel said about Kevin. You don't see Kevin Byard with soft tissue injuries.
Nope.
Because that young man knows how to work in the offseason.
Right. And that's what.
And about them, I'm getting with Kevin. Like, yeah. Whatever you're doing, I want to do.
Yeah, and I'm curious, too, like, how much, you know, you're working out and everything, and you had a trainer and stuff, so you're mm-hmm. doing all that stuff. But from the football aspect, I mean, are you finding a quarterback and running routes? And were you and Steve working out together doing stuff in the offseason?
See, back then, we had more days together.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
we were. It seemed like we were in the building every day. There wasn't a time we were not in the building, it seemed like. So it was easier to work with your quarterback. So when we had a break, it wasn't like, oh, let's get together. It was, hell, we've been together for the last 3 weeks and we're getting a week off. Okay, let's take the week off. And, you know, you travel, do what you want to. So now it's so different because of the collective bargaining that these guys are not getting the time that they need, and coaches hate it. The time that they need on field with everyone. So they have to, you know, find time to throw with their quarterbacks. And even that, I mean, I did that once I got to Baltimore. I did a lot of that with Joe and everybody else. It was like, because once the collective bargaining changed, we didn't have as much time. So what did we do? We found, you know, other avenues to throw and be with one another.
I feel like, too, it was different because you and Steve were just so close mm-hmm. in general that it was like you just kind of knew. And you had that. And I think you probably got that because, like you just mentioned, you were together a lot because you had more days at the facility.
Exactly. That's where you're building that rapport. When you're – the time that you spend in the building with one another, you know, that's why – you know, you saw back then that, you know, whether it's Peyton and Marvin or Peyton or Wayne or Stokely, these guys, they had such a rapport with one another. Why? Because they spent so much time together because that was the old collective bargaining, whether it was Steve and I, Steve and, you know, KD or Steve and Drew. We had a connection. Why? Because we had a lot of time together in the building. It's not that way now, so you have to find, again, you have to find an alternative. What do I need to do now? Well, Racy, Phillips, Traylon, y'all need to be calling up Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis. Like, let's go. Like, let's throw. Let's find a place to throw. There shouldn't be a time where you guys are not throwing with one another. There shouldn't be.
And honestly, I'd rather them be throwing with Willis because he needs that practice too.
Exactly. So there's to me, and I understand people have families and they like to travel and do certain things in there, but no, there should be set schedules.
Yeah.
You know, when y'all are not in this building, there should be set schedules for all of it because that only helps everybody. That helps, more importantly, it helps the young receivers build that rapport with Ryan Tannehill.
Right. Coming up next, we'll switch gears. We'll talk some hoops. Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt basketball coach, going to join us. Plus, Willie comes into the fray as well. Looking forward to that. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, chasing for Caroline today, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick joins us now from Buffalo, New York. And we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And say hello to the head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores, Jerry Stackhouse, who has been nice enough to join us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Good morning. How you guys?
Oh, we're feeling good.
Let me say something right quick. Coach Stack, I am extremely happy that you did me a favor as a Michigan State alum, that you beat Michigan. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Boy, was that nice to see. Believe me.
Oh, man. The old Michigan battle, man. I know those roots run deep.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Look, Coach, this guy has been – I mean, you guys took care of Michigan in the NIT. His Spartans win in the NCAA tournament. I mean, he's been floating around this building the last few days. He's been feeling good.
No, I know that's right. He don't know it's 30 degrees outside. It's already spring. I get it.
So, yeah, and look, I mean, this is the thing that I've loved is just the swagger that your team has had as of late. I mean, you know, going through the NIT and gotten that chip on your shoulder, I mean, it showed, and Michigan gave you a battle. I was telling these guys that it was such a fun game to watch, but you ultimately came out on top. What does that say just about the resolve that the young men on your team have?
No, man. I mean, it's fun to watch, man. It's fun to watch these guys compete. They enjoy being around each other. I mean, they enjoy, you know, trying to bring a game plan to, you know, to the game. And then just, you know, they really believe that they're going to find a way to win. And I think the best. That's an intangible that I don't know. I mean, you work on, but you don't know when that's going to click in, but they really feel like they're going to find ways and make plays to win. And it worked for us, man. I don't know, win that game 9 out of 10 times, but we did win it the one time. And I think they really believe that. I mean, late game situation, the execution has been, you know, really sharp. Again, still a degree, another level that we can go to, but it's been sharp enough for us to have success. And again, being able to bring some pressure late and extend the game, you know, playing against more of an inexperienced team, I think our experience showed up. You know, we obviously, you know, Jordan was an unbelievable force, being able to guard, you know, Dickinson down the stretch, you know, putting a smaller body on him. I mean, he'd had a hell of a game up until Jordan really kind of took him out of it. So it's just good to see our veterans and guys that's been around step up and make plays and find a way for us to win.
Jordan, you bring him up, and we've talked to you about him so much, as he was your first recruit. He's helped you build this program. And, you know, with whatever he's been faced with this year, Coach, it feels like he's been able to overcome it and step up when his number's called. And that's been really cool to watch.
Man, Vanderbilt man. That's all I can say. That's what he's the epitome of what we wanted to be. Again, he's dealt with some adversity, you know, throughout the season. I mean, he probably had his best season just from a statistical standpoint or you know, decisions making or whatever, even from a defensive standpoint. But, you know, he's battled through it and now he's playing as well as anybody for us, you know, making plays for others, making plays for himself when he's needed. But again, like I said, doing whatever the team needed. I mean, I think he's really, and that takes some time for some guys to settle into a role when they maybe had envisioned something bigger, you know, just maybe from a scoring standpoint after Scotty left and, you know, feel like I need to step up in this role. But that's for Jordan. We just need him to be the ultimate utility guy, to be able to still be able to get 25 on a given night, but more so than that, just make the right play. The perfect game for him, I think, would be, you know, 8 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, and he probably got 4 or 5 steals. So he's just able to do those things, and those type of things make our team better. We needed him to do more once Liam went out, but still, him being a playmaker and utility is. And he's embraced it. And really, that's part of why we've been having the success that we've been having.
We're talking with Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt's head basketball coach. They've got a game coming up against UAB. Now, Coach, every game presents its own sort of challenges. And obviously, the challenge in this game was the length and the height of Michigan. How do you approach that? Because it's different from trying to guard a team that shoots, you know, very well from the 3-point line, or a team that, you know, does a really good job at defending. But when you face a team that is as long and big as Michigan, how do you prepare for that?
No, I think we have length too. Again, it's just about at our four. We like to space the floor. I mean, they went with two bigs a little bit with Dixon and Reed. And you know that actually took another shooter off the floor for us, so it helped us out. I think one of those things when you're dealing with a guy like Dickinson, you know he's going to score. I mean, I thought those shots that he made against Quentin were contested as just, you know, one-on-one shots that he made those shots. We watched games and watched films, and he's missed some of those shots. He had it going a little bit, but do we allow those other guys to be impactful as well by coming out and doubling and all of a sudden now guys are getting open threes, or do we live with those twos and try to play the percentages there? And I think that was it. You know, we had some opportunities where we could come and be aggressive and double at the right time. But for the most part, we live with him playing with Q playing one-on-one. You know, mm-hmm. You know, one could say that, he almost beat us, but he didn't. At the end of the game, when we, you know, picked up our pressure a little bit and wouldn't allow him to catch it on the post, we were able to get some stops and score ourselves and ultimately win the game. But those are the decisions that you live with. If there's a guy so good on the block that he's the only guy that can beat us, yeah, we may be coming double team and they don't have the shooters. But those are percentages and kind of the analytics that we look at going into every game. Can these guys, are they taking enough threes? Can they make enough threes to beat us? Or should we stay home with them and live with playing one-on-one in the post?
Now, with such a short turnaround, and it's not like you guys haven't played games in, you know, two or three days back-to-back, sort of, how do you get more out of the bench play? Because ultimately, as you move further and further along in the tournament, you're going to need guys outside Ezra and Lawrence to contribute to wins.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's we do need some guys to step up off the bench. I thought Emmanuel Esson came in and gave us some good energy minutes. Last game, Trey made a big shot for us. He hadn't shot, you know, he hasn't shot well, but you know, he's a guy that we trust. I mean, know that we're going to get on the defensive end as well. Even though he's smaller in size, he's probably one of our best screeners. He's one of the best guys at going and trying to seek contact on defensive boards. And then I've seen him make shots. And I think so. We're hoping to get him going a little bit more. We spent Monday. It was kind of cool that we didn't really know what was going to happen when the game was. And the fact that we had an extra day, we just spent that first day back Sunday just getting some shots, getting a lot of shots up. But it's not just us, man. I think some came out about just the NCAA tournament and period. I mean, all the teams are shooting 30% from three. So I don't know if it's just crediting it to good defense or, you know, guys finding their leg this first week, and hopefully, you know, we come out and shoot well and the team that we're playing still stay around that less than 30%. But I think we're due. I think we're due, man, to make a few more shots. But it all kind of predicated on our offense, making sure that we're in the right spots and getting guys the shots that we know that they can make and can take and make.
Coach Jerry Stackhouse is with us here on 102.5 The Game. And Coach, I know how you guys felt. I know I felt like I got punched in the gut when I didn't see Vanderbilt's name come up on the board when they announced the pairings. And I played on an NIT championship team in 1990. So you get that feeling, right? Teams can go either way when they go to the NIT. I've seen some teams kind of just check out. But I admire the way your team just said, you know what, we're going to play with the chip on our shoulder. We're staying engaged in this thing. That's admirable, especially with a veteran team.
Willie, I need to send you a fee, man. I know you, I mean, you've been Team Vandy, man, all the way, man. I've been wanting to like your tweets and retweet them, but I'm like, man, I can't do that.
Well, look, I'm emotionally involved. I'm not going to lie, but I just put the numbers out there, and I need to talk to some guys on the committee.
No, man, I thought we did what we had to do. It just wasn't in the cards for us this year, and I think that we've learned for it. It's almost like we're still learning too. I think as far as how we kind of build our schedule and how we move forward, you know, I'm kind of having the, you know, still coming back from my pro approach. Again, you win the most games and you win more toward the end of the season than you beat the good teams. Those are the best teams, you know, in my mind. But I think we have to think about, you know, the net and how it is effective. But again, it's one thing probably a year ago, we were happy with the net because we were so bad in it, and we took major steps. Each year, we probably jumped 40 points in the net, getting better and better. And then this year, it's like, oh, we hate the net because it didn't, you know, we didn't have that jump, or we didn't, our schedule, or we didn't beat people by enough points early in the season. And it's just not the right way to think about it. If that was really the reasons why we didn't get in there, could have been some other factors, maybe Liam not being a part of the team anymore and the kind of the impact that he had. You know, I think there's a lot of factors. They say there's four or five. I don't know which one cost us the most, but I think I like our approach of going out and beating teams in our league, being, you know, winning the fourth more tie for the fourth best record in our league. You know, having a little bit of a tougher schedule than some of the other teams in our league that don't have to play at Kentucky or Tennessee or Florida twice. But at the end of the day, man, I'm not one that's cry over spilled milk. We take what it is. We left some unfinished business in the NIT. Hopefully we can get that done this year, and then we look to take that next step next year, man. And I think that, it's good for our guys to keep playing. A lot of these teams are going home. NCAA teams are going home now. We're still playing, so I think that's the fun part of it.
Well, one of the things that you told us a few weeks ago after you guys had started to have some success, we were asking about Ezra Mignon and his emergence as the season's gone along. He's gotten a lot better, which is another thing that I think the committee should look at in the future, is going back to saying, how do teams improve as the season goes on? You were saying, you know, at the time, I don't think he had hit a three-point shot, maybe one. But if you look at these last three or four games, he's starting to hit that shot. And you told us that he was coming along in those areas. That's a great example of a guy that just keeps working to get better. And I know you're really thrilled to have him back next year.
Yeah, man, no doubt. I mean, he works on it, man. He's improved on it. He takes, corrective criticism with everything that he does, you know, from a defensive standpoint, offensively. Just knowing that, you know, him being able to make those shots, but again, not to settle for him either. I like the ones when the ball moves and it's the right one, but he's such a great penetrator that I don't want him to settle. He has a really good pull-up game. So it is fun to watch to just see, you know, we're tiring. All these guys, you just look at them and think they got better and understood what their role needed to be. Nobody really knew. Again, like I said, it was a lot of new pieces that we had to figure out what their roles were. You can't just get that. And even though I was glad that we had that European trip this year, had a chance to play some games and bond a little bit, I think that really helped us. But still, when you get into the real games, the non-conference games, get into the SEC play, things kind of develop. You have injuries, you have guys that you have to continue to grow them as men and not just basketball players. So there's some decisions that you have to make there that are, you know, a little bit more important than maybe just winning a game in that particular time. But maybe in the big scheme of things, you look at it and say, okay, well, you probably should have. Nah, man, we did what we need to do to have long-term success in our program and not, just worry about a one-off. And if that cost us, it's cost us, but I think it's going to benefit us in the long run.
We're talking to Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt basketball coach, NIT tomorrow against UAB. Coach, I'm headed to Vegas tomorrow, so unfortunately I won't get to go to the game. I'm just going to get Vegas warmed up for y'all because that's what I'm hoping. Just get it warmed up and let them know that the Commodores are coming.
Let us know, man. Hopefully we'll be joining you there this weekend, man. But it's business at first, man. It's a lot of excitement here, man, what we've been able to do here in Memorial. You just don't even realize it. I think they just said 14 home wins this year. The streak that we're on right now and being able to hopefully close it out. In front of our fans and our students back from spring break. So I know it's going to be crazy, and hopefully we can play our game, defend the way that we're capable of, and get to Vegas for the chance to do this thing the way we're supposed to.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, best of luck, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys. Appreciate you. Bye.
That's Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt basketball coach, joining us here on the show. Willie is in the fray. We'll talk a little bit about some of the things you just heard there and some hoops as well.
I appreciate the shout out from Coach Stack. I'm glad he was seeing what was out there. That was, I'll tell you, I really admire, because there's some teams that when their name isn't called, they check out, and they've gone the other way and they've played well. So kudos to him.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's just a fun one to watch, a fun run for sure. We'll come back with more next here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Chase in for Caroline today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Chase in for Caroline today. We're live at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Willie D with us from Buffalo, New York. Willie, that was awesome with Jerry Stackhouse. Appreciate him joining us. You can, if you missed it, head to thegamenashville.com. But excited about, you know, the NIT. I was just telling Derek, I was like, man, I might have to stay out in Vegas if they get to the semifinals. Mm-hmm. Just say I'm covering it.
Covering the team.
But they wouldn't play until a week from today.
Yeah, it's and that I think is the fun part about it. And it was funny. I was about to start talking about going to New York. Mm-hmm. And then fortunately, I got bailed out by somebody on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Said, Willie, just so you know, the Final Four is not in New York anymore. Yeah. It's in Vegas. And I was about to sing the praises of the Big Apple, talk about how I got lost in the subway during the NIT finals, which I did. And I almost took my roommate down with me, Kevin Anglin, who was starting. I wasn't starting, so I wasn't going to play much either way. So getting benched for me meant a little something different than Kevin getting benched, who was a freshman as well. And so we were late to the pregame meal because we went the wrong way on the subway. That was not good. But I guess the team wouldn't have to worry about it if they're going to Vegas. They just have to worry about not getting lost on the strip in one of those huge hotel casinos.
Yeah, I don't think they're.
So what was that conversation like with Coach Fogler?
Mm.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You talk about literally shaking. Coach Fogler, we rolled in right as the pregame meal was ending.
Ooh.
You know, first of all, no. Ooh. Well, because, first of all, there's no cell phones or anything right back then. This is 1990. So we decided to go to the – it was a late start. It was like a 9 o'clock Eastern start for the NIT final. It's a Monday night game. We're playing University of St. Louis. Anthony Bonner was their big player. He played in the NBA for a long, long time. So we decide, well, hey, look, we got a long time. It's a late start. Let's go to the World Trade Center. We're in New York. I was like, hey, I grew up in New York, Kevin. Last night I took the subway. I went and saw my buddy who goes to Columbia. I know how to do this.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Kevin, being a freshman from Franklin, Tennessee, says, sure. I'll go with you. All right. I've never seen the World Trade Center. Let's go. So long story short, I got off on the wrong stop, pulled Kevin with me. We got off several blocks short instead of taking the subway right to the World Trade Center, which would have dropped us off right next to the building. Mm. Instead, we got off early, so we had to walk several blocks. So that chewed up a lot of our cushion time. We went up to the top of the building. We checked it out. We're like, okay, we better get going. We got to get back in time for the pregame meal, but we'll just zip back. We know where we're going now. Got on the subway and went the wrong way on the subway. So instead of going back to Times Square, which would have been a real easy 10-15 minute ride, we went under the river and we got off and we're like, I think these stops don't look right, Kevin. Where are we? Let's get off and check it out. Well, let me just tell you what happened. We got off the subway and we're getting a little nervous now. We're like, man, we got to get back here. We only got like 10 minutes left before the pregame meal. And we said, sir, and the guy stops us cold, classic New Yorker right out of Central Casting. He goes, hey, Vanderbilt, you guys are here for the NIT. And we were like, yeah, we're trying to get back to Times Square. He goes, Times Square? You're in Brooklyn. And we just our heart just stopped. We were like, oh, my God. We were like, what do we do? So we had gone the wrong way. We were on the right subway, but we were going the wrong way. So we're like, we should call somebody. So we tried to get in on a payphone, and of course the subways are rattling through there. You can't hear anything on the other line. We're like, who do we call? What's our hotel? How do we get in touch with Coach Fogler? So we just said, forget it. Let's go back on the subway. We got there. We rolled in at the end of the pregame meal. They said to the assistant coach, Rick Callahan. He says, all right, grab something to eat. I'm glad you're safe. Coach is already up in his room. Once you're done eating, go up there and tell them what happened.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine two freshmen sweating? Like, I was just sweating my whole body, my armpits, everything, my eyebrows. I'm just rolling, dripping with sweat. So I said, Kevin, this is my fault, man. I'll knock on the door. I'll take the blame. And Coach Fogel was great. He goes, all right, look, you guys owe me some running when it's over. Don't worry about it right now. Get ready to play. And so I was so thankful he didn't bench Kevin, because I really would have felt bad to this day. So we had to run the steps of Memorial Gym for, let's just say, several hours after the next season.
You owe me some running.
Yeah. Exactly.
The stair steps of Memorial can get a little steep, but we survived.
Oh, that is hilarious.
And we won it, so it was all good.
That is hilarious. A great story by Willie D. Coming up next, I'm going to hang out with these guys for a little bit. We'll get back into the NFL, because there was a signing, and I know we want to bring this up with D-Mace, because I was a little surprised by how much it was as well. That's all coming up. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, chase in for Caroline today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.